नाम नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तरं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तथोजायामुदीरये नामकारि बहुतानि च सर्वशक्तिस्तत्रापि तान्यमिता स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशम् इहाजनिनानुरगः. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. This is a prayer that is offered to the Supreme Lord by Himself. The Supreme Lord incarnated in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to show the people of this world how to worship. Lord Chaitanya is considered the Yuga Avatar. In each age it is described the Lord descends to teach the process according to Kala Desha Patra, according to the time, the place, and the particular people of the society, how they can perfect their lives in devotion to God. So of course, no one knows how to please God greater than God. So therefore, in regard to this matter of how to approach the Lord, we accept Lord Chaitanya as supreme authority. Of course, he does not in any way contradict the teachings of the previous acharyas or the previous incarnations, but he comes to teach by his own example what are the qualities which are pleasing to Krishna in the life of a devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his life, exhibited many beautiful pastimes. And in the form of Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, his life story of the exemplary behavior of the perfect devotee are illustrated for all humankind to follow. And his followers, headed by Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they wrote thousands and thousands and thousands of books explaining very systematically the philosophy of devotion to God. But Lord Chaitanya in his own life only wrote 8 verses. We are reading this afternoon from the second of these 8 verses. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of names, like Krishna and Govinda. He is establishing the absolute nature of the name of God. The name of God transcends and surpasses all sectarian boundaries. The name of God is in containing within it all the opulence, all the power, and all the glory of the Supreme Lord Himself. Actually, in this world, Lord Chaitanya is describing, there is absolutely nothing as powerful as the name of God. And in the lives of so many great devotees throughout history of all religions, we have found that they are all confirming that the shelter of the Lord of Vaikuntha can be found in toto within the sound of His name. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has prayed, "My Lord, I have seen and considered this whole world. I have tried everything, I have done everything. And my conclusion is that it is Your holy name alone that can save me." It is described by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, another great devotee of the Lord, that in the whole 14 worlds, there is nothing so sublime, there is nothing that can give such shelter as the name of God. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining that you have many names. In other words, he's not teaching a particular religious sect. He is teaching the universal principle of religion. He was not simply asking people to follow him in a particular sectarian concept. But he's teaching, if you are a Muslim, then you can chant Allah. If you are a Christian, then you could chant the name of Christ or Yahweh or Jehovah. If you are a follower of Sanatana Dharma, you could chant the name of Sri Ram or Lord Narahari or Lord Krishna, Govinda. But in each and every one of the names of God, all the glory, opulence and power of God is within. We find in the life of Draupadi how when she gave up all sense of false ego and chanted the name of Krishna, Krishna was there to deliver her. And similarly, the name is there to deliver all of us. But we have to give up this sense of false ego. Otherwise, our chanting will have minimal effect. Lord Chaitanya is saying there are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. You see, in this age of Kali Yuga, it is said, Kalo Sudra Sambhave, practically no one has any real good qualities. Therefore, in any situation of life, we can take the name of God. You see, particular people with particular sentiments, with particular types of past conditionings, may be able to accept something and not accept another thing. So therefore, the chanting of the holy names has universal appeal. Because however you chant, if it is done with attention, if it is done correctly, it will have the same effect. Recently at New Vrindavan, there was an interfaith conference, and people from various religious organizations came, and they all shared with one another how they particularly chant the names of God. And in form, in ritual, there is a great difference. But the devotees found that the essence was the same, providing the sincerity was there. Some people chant the holy names in great awe and reverence with only an organ playing. Others chant the holy names with mridangas and karatals, like Lord Chaitanya himself dancing in transcendental ecstasy. Others chant the holy names by beating on a drum and just the same beat, the same tune over, over, over again. We have seen in our travels around the world Various people chant the holy names in different ways. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying there is no hard and there is no fast rule. Just take the name. To say there's only one way to chant the holy name is a very sectarian, closed-minded idea. Different religious leaders are teaching their particular disciples the best way for them. But according to the Supreme Lord Himself, He is explaining there are no hard and fast rules as far as form, as far as ritual. It is the quality of the heart that makes the chanting effective, not the form in which you chant. Whether you're doing any of those forms of japa we saw today, if your heart is wrong, you'll get minimal effect. And even if you're wearing the blindfold with the earplugs and your back is perfectly erect, if your heart is not correct, you're going to get minimal effects. These are definitely very important techniques to increase our attentiveness. But in the Shikshastakam prayers, Lord Chaitanya is emphasizing the quality of the heart. And what is the quality of the heart? He explains here, My Lord, out of your kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. The name is so easy to approach. Anyone can take it. It's descended upon each and every one of us into our lives. But the problem is, we're not willing to accept it. We're not willing to receive it. Why? Lord Chaitanya says, Your holy names, you're so easily to approach through your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. The essence of this verse is in this last sentence. Unless you develop this consciousness, no matter how you chant, your chanting will be very minimal in effect. Lord Chaitanya is God Himself, and He's explaining, My dear Lord, I have no love for you. I have no devotion for you. I have no attraction. Your name is causelessly descended upon all of us, and I have no attraction for them. Therefore, I am the most unfortunate and condemned of all souls. And then in the next verse, he continues where he leaves off. Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Who is qualified to chant your name properly? One who considers himself more humble than the grass. You step on the grass, you spit on the grass. No one even considers with any respect the integrity of the grass. One who is more tolerant than a tree, ready to accept any abuse, suffer the heat of the summer and give shade to others, suffer the freezing of the winter and give wood to heat others. And even if someone comes to kill it, the tree gives its wood of its body for that person to build a house. That is tolerance. One who is more humble than grass, more tolerant than the tree, who is ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, only such a person can chant the name of God constantly. This is the essence of learning the proper process of chanting. The mechanical process of how to chant most attentively is very useful. But let us grasp the essence of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. I have no attraction for your chanting, he is saying. I am most unqualified. In other words, the greatest obstacle for spiritual advancement is false ego. To consider in terms of I and mine. Janasya mohoya mahamameti. To think, the more we understand the glory of God, the more we understand how insignificant and tiny we truly are. As long as Draupadi considered herself or anything she had of any value, God was not responding to her chanting of the holy name. Not in full. But as soon as she raised her arms and understood, I'm useless, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless, nothing I have, nothing I can do is of any value, my dear Lord Krishna, only your name can save me. And then she cried out, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda, with great attention, with great devotion, with great humility. Then Krishna descended and saved her. Factually, a devotee admits that everything belongs to God. This is real humility. Humility doesn't simply mean superficially telling everybody you're the most fallen. That is imitation. Real humility is to have the realization and the understanding that everything is the property of God. My body is God's property, my intelligence, my brain, whatever powers I have to control my senses and mind, it's all the property of God. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has prayed, Manaso deho geho joho kichu mor arpiluntu alpade nandakishor. My Lord, my body, my mind, my home, my family, my wealth, my prestige, my position, they are all yours. I am offering them all to you on this holy day. It is a dream to consider anything our own. To wake up means to understand that everything is the property of God. Therefore, what do you have to be proud of? Who are you to be proud of anything? To be proud is taking the recognition for what belongs to God. There is a story in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to every night have beautiful kirtans in the house of Shivas Thakur. And they would close all the doors and close all the windows because the ordinary man could not understand the divine nature of these kirtans. Only one who was more humble than the grass, more tolerant than the tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, only such persons were allowed in that house at night. During the day, Lord Chaitanya would go out into the streets and distribute the holy name to everyone and anyone. So there was one Brahmin, very highly educated man. He was from a very high birth of the highest Brahminical family. And he was very greatly well-versed in the scriptures. And he was very austere. It is said that this man only drank one cup of milk a day for years and years and years. He would eat nothing else. He was very austere. And he was very strict in all of his performance of the yogic process. So he told Lord Chaitanya that I want to come. He came to the house. They would not let him in. So he came to Lord Chaitanya the next day. He said, you know, I am a learned Brahmin. I am from the highest class. I am very austere. I only drink a little milk every day. I'm qualified to go into that house and chant with you. You should let me in. Lord Chaitanya told him that we are not concerned with what family you are from. We are not concerned with how nicely you can speak or how many verses you know of the scriptures. We are not concerned whether you drink one glass of milk a day or eat all day. We are concerned only with the sincerity and the humility of your heart. And therefore this person became very angry and he cursed Lord Chaitanya. He said, I curse you that you will lose your family life and you will lose all your opulence. Lord Chaitanya was very happy. He said, thank you very much. What do I have to lose? It is all God's. If God wants to take it away, I'll be happy for him to take it. If God wants me to use it in his service, then I'll be happy to use it in his service. I have none. A devotee has nothing to fear. Because he has nothing. His wealth belongs to God. His prestige belongs to God. Everything. If God wants to take it away, it's yours, Krishna. You can take it. If God wants to give it in great abundance, it's yours, Krishna. Take it. That is the mentality of one who is sincere in understanding what is devotional service. There is another beautiful story. It was in the life of the great Acharya Ramanuja. It is described that when he was a very great Acharya, and he had many thousands and thousands of disciples throughout all of India, his name and his fame were spread in all directions. The purity of his humility and his devotion was something very great. It's described when he was very young. He was born from a very high position in society, in a Brahmin family. And there was... this was before he had disciples. He was just a young boy. There was a very great devotee of the name Kanchipurna who was born of a Sudra family. He was born from a very low class. But every day he would sing beautiful songs before the deity of Bharadraj in this holy city of Kanchipur. So on the first meeting, Ramanuja, who was a student, he saw the devotional, humble qualities of this great saint and invited him to his home for prasad. And after feeding him prasad, Ramanuja got on his knees and began to massage this man's feet. And the man said, no, 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 you should not be massaging my feet. He said, who are you and who are me? He said, you are a Brahmin from a very distinguished, prestigious family. You are very learned. He said, I'm a Sudra, low-class man. I'm not very learned in the scriptures. He says, you should not be massaging my feet. I should be serving you. And when Ramanuja heard this, he said, if being a Brahmin and being learned in the scriptures makes one proud and prevents one from serving great devotees like you, then I consider it most unfortunate and most condemned to be a Brahmin and learned in the scriptures. At that time, Kanchipurnam was very happy to hear the humility of Ramanuja. So later on, when he became very, very famous, he was living in Srirangam, which is today just near Trichy in South India. And one time in that city, there was a very great festival. And they took the Utsav Murti, the small deity of Ranganath, into the streets on a beautiful palanquin. And thousands and thousands of people from all around came to chant, to play instruments, to dance, and to see the beautiful form of the Lord. Everyone was so happy. Their ears, their eyes, their bodies, everything, their minds was engrossed in the beauty of the Lord to glorify Him and to assist one another in the praise of God. But there was one man who stood out. He was a very big, strong, stout man. And he had a big turban on, and he was standing next to a very beautiful young girl. And he had an umbrella to shade this girl from the sun. And while everyone was around him glorifying God and chanting and dancing the praises of God, his eyes were completely engrossed in this girl, making sure not a ray of sun would disturb her.
So people around were thinking, what kind of a crazy fellow is this? This is a festival for God? He was completely oblivious to the deity, completely oblivious to all the holy names being chanted, to all the dancing, to all the festivals. He only had one thing on his mind. This woman. So finally, Ramanujacharya, he happened to see this man. He told one of his disciples, look at that man, he's making a complete fool out of himself. What is his mentality? Call him over to me. So the disciple went over. And they called once, twice, three times. The man could not even hear. He was so engrossed. Finally, the disciple pushed him and he said, the great saint Ramanuja wants to talk to you. He said, oh my God, such a great sadhu. Ramanujacharya wants to talk to me. I better go. So he went. He gave the girl the umbrella. He said, you please hold this. I'll be back in just a minute. Stay here. So Ramanuja, he said, why don't you understand that you look like a very foolish person in this festival? You're just standing there looking at this girl. Why are you doing like this? He said, my dear Lord, I have never seen in my life anything so beautiful as the eyes of this girl. Therefore, I cannot stop looking at them. Even though the girl was a prostitute, that did not make any difference to him. So Ramanujacharya told him, if I show you something more beautiful than the eyes of this girl, will you surrender to that? He said, yes, of course. He said, then you come tomorrow morning to my ashram. So the next morning, Ramanuja brought this man to the beautiful temple of Rangakshetra. And he brought him before the beautiful murti of Krishna in the form of Ranganath. And he said, now you look at the eyes of this beautiful deity of Krishna. And by the mercy of Ramanuja, this man was able to see the true beauty of the eyes of the Lord. And he began to cry, his limbs began to tremble. And then he turned to Ramanuja and fell at his feet. He said, now I understand the goal of life. Om Purnam, what is that? Om Apavitrap Pavitrovam Saravabhastam Gatapimam Yas Marek Pundarikaksham Sabayabhyantarasuj. Whether one is purified or unpurified, if one simply remembers the beautiful lotus-eyed Lord, he becomes purified within and without. So he became a great devotee. He became completely detached from all material sinful activities, and he surrendered to Ramanuja and became a very intimate associate. When the prostitute heard about the great conversion and the purification of this man, she came to Ramanuja and also surrendered. She says, I want you to be my guru. So then what Ramanuja did is he told her and he told him that the two of you should get married. And you should simply live in the service of Lord Krishna. Simply live in the service of the devotees of Krishna. That should be your only consideration in life. Without serving nicely the devotees of the Lord, you cannot serve the Lord. So you worship the Lord and his devotees. So they accepted this. This man, he was initiated and given the name, I believe it was Danur Das. He became a very, very close associate of Ramanuja. He considered himself most fallen. But Ramanuja was constantly calling him and asking him to do very confidential forms of service for him. Ramanuja was often seen putting his hand on him and giving him very, very special mercy, practically more than any of the other devotees. Now, most of Ramanuja's devotees were very high-class Brahmins, very learned in the scriptures. This man was not learned in the scriptures, and he was in a low-class sudra. So people began to make rumors about Ramanuja. Why is he giving so much mercy? Why is he becoming such close friendship with the sudra? People were criticizing him. And his own disciples began to criticize him amongst themselves. this doesn't look good, this isn't right. He's giving so much attention to a sudra, and he's practically neglecting the rest of us. We're all Brahmins, learned scholars, surrendered students. So what happened is Ramanuja heard of the criticism of his disciples, all these great pundits and learned scholars. So one night when they were all sleeping, because they were all brahmacharis and sannyasis, these great brahmacharis and sannyasis, while they were sleeping, before sleeping, they would wash their clothes out and hang their dhotis on a clothesline, and then they would go to sleep, and the next morning, very simple, they would just wear very clean clothes. So that night, Ramanuja tore a little piece of cloth off each dhoti. And the next morning, in the ashram, when all these brahmacharis and sannyasis saw that somebody has torn and stolen my dhoti material, they became very angry. And they started all accusing one another, "Why did you must have done it? I know you're envious of me. You must have torn his dhoti. I didn't do it. You tore my dhoti. Just see your..." And they were arguing and fighting to such an extent that Ramanujacharya had to come. They were about to become physical with one another. He basically told them, "Just, it's only a little piece of your dhoti. Don't be so attached." And he calmed them. Although there was a tremendous amount of animosity amongst them over this. So what Ramanuja did the next day, he said, "You know this disciple of mine, Dhanurdas, he's very attached to household life. He's a low-class man, very attached. You're all brahmacharis and sannyasis. You know the essence of renunciation, tapasya. But this man, I mean, he decorates his wife with nice jewelry and he's so, with her so much. I think we should teach him a lesson." They were saying, "Ah, Ramanuja, now he's finally making sense about this low-class disciple of his." So Ramanuja said, "What we should do is we should reveal how fallen he is to everyone. What you should do is I will call him tonight to do some seva for me, service. And while he's there, you Brahmin and sannyasis, brahmacharis, you sneak in his house and you steal all his wife's precious valuable gold and jewels. And then we'll see how he becomes so disturbed." And they're saying, "Ah, now he'll be revealed." So what they did is they went in the house. And that night she was sleeping. She was resting, waiting for her husband. And she was wearing such beautiful decorative jewels. And very quietly they took her earrings off. They took her nose ring off. They took her bracelets off. They took her necklaces off. They took it all. And then they were trying to very lightly turn her over to get the jewels on the other side. Now the whole time she was awake, she knew exactly what they were doing, but she was pretending to be asleep. So when they found difficulty turning her over, she, in the pretending of sleep, she turned over herself. And then they were thinking, "Oh my God, she might be waking up. She turned over by herself." So they all ran away. And then they came back to Ramanuja that night. And they said, "Ah, just see what we have. We have all these beautiful jewels. Dhanurdas is going to be so angry." So Ramanuja said, "Okay, now you have to go look through his window and spy on him to see exactly how he responds when he finds out all his most precious things in his whole household have been taken." So he said, "All right." So they were looking through the window. And Dhanurdas came home. And his wife got up to greet him. He said, "Why, you only have jewels on half of your face?" She said, "What happened is some Brahmins came, and they must have been very hungry because they wanted to steal my jewels. So I knew exactly what was happening, so I just pretended to sleep while they stole all the jewels on one side of my body. And then I was thinking, if they're so hungry, I should give them all the jewels to my other side. So I turned over so she could take all the rest. They could take all the rest. And then they ran away." And Dhanurdas became very angry. He chastised his wife. He said, "You foolish woman." He said, "What an opportunity you had to give charity to the Brahmins." He said, "Why did you turn over so abruptly?" You should have turned over so gracefully that they would not have suspected in any way. Then they would have taken everything. And then you would have been the most fortunate of all persons. Because nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to God. The Brahmins are the representatives of God. If they want to take whatever, that's our great fortune. Let them take everything. And she hung her head low with tears in her eyes and said, "Yes, my dear father, my dear husband, what you're saying is correct. The fact that I still have these jewels means I'm very unfortunate." When the brahmacharis and sannyasis saw this, they became very, very shocked. They were thinking, what? This person's a grihastha from a low class, not even very well educated. Just see his qualities. So they went back to the ashram and told Ramanujacharya. And Ramanuja said, "Huh? You see? You remember 2 days back when one little 2-inch piece of your dhoti was taken? How disturbed you were? How you were accusing everybody? Why you're taking my dhoti? Why you took a piece of my dhoti? It is mine. It's not yours. Why you have stolen? You are all brahmacharis and sannyasis, so supposed to be so detached, but you're attached to 1 inch of cloth on your dhoti, considering it yours. And this man is a sudra. And he is a grihastha with a beautiful wife. But you can steal everything of his. And he will feel himself most fortunate. He will thank you for doing so." When one is actually humble, one understands that everything belongs to God. I am nothing. This is the real qualification that we should strive for. Because only when we sincerely desire to strive for this platform of consciousness can we truly reap the complete benefits of the chanting of the holy name. After all, Vishwamitra Muni, he was sitting like this with back erect, not moving his body in the heat of the summer with 12 fires around him. He would sit in the winter in the Himalayan peaks in ice water without moving a limb of his body, engrossed in his meditation. But that is not taken very seriously, because he was not humbly submitting himself as a servant of God. So there are many techniques which help us attentively concentrate on the chanting. And these techniques we should accept if they help us, certainly. Because one of the 10 offenses to the holy name, actually the 11th offense, is to chant inattentively. So therefore, we should accept whatever helps us to chant attentively. But if you do start chanting attentively, if you become proud and you think, "I'm chanting more attentive than everyone else," then in the eyes of God, you're the lowest. Your chanting has no meaning. The qualification of one who is really chanting attentively is Trinadapi Sunichina Turorapi Suhishnana. That he's actually becoming humble like the grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. So why we chant for maybe 2 to 4 hours a day and the rest of the day we're doing so much service? Why not just sit and chant all day? He said, because all the rest of the day, by engaging in menial service to the Lord and his devotees, you are properly preparing your consciousness in the proper humble service attitude so that you can chant with quality. Understand, throughout the day you're preparing yourself for the time when you're chanting. If in the day you are not trying to develop the menial humble service attitude, free from prestige and pride, then you are not going to be able to chant properly when the time comes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishro nashudro naham varani nacha grihapatir nobarishro jitirva kintu pro jyanakila paramananda punamrita bear gopi baratura padakamalayora das das anu das. I have no position that I aspire for except being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So while we are chanting the holy name, we should chant attentively. We shouldn't be Kumbhakarna, Japa, or what else? Rajnani Express Japa, dive bomb drop Japa. We should be very careful to guard and chant in such a way that we can fix our attention on the holy name during that 2 hours. But understand the rest of the day is your japa too. The rest of the day is not different than your japa, because how you are humbling yourself to me, the menial servant of the servant, will determine the proper quality of your heart when you're chanting your holy names. Ajamil chanted one name with quality in a helpless condition of heart, and that one name saved him from death, saved him from hell. Others, they may chant millions and millions and millions of names for millions and millions and millions of births and never see God. You see God, as it is describing here, he is easily available through the sound of his name. But Lord Chaitanya is saying, unfortunately, I have no attraction for them. Which means he is not saying, I am a very advanced devotee. I am very expert at chanting. I am very expert at preaching. He is considering himself the lowest. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami considered himself lower than the worm in stool. He said, the worm in stool has a position in his stool, but I have no position. I'm lower. The two most sinful of all persons, Jagai and Madai, I am more sinful than them because of my pride. This is the way the great saints are praying. This is the way they are feeling within the core of their hearts. And this is the difference between a bona fide spiritual movement that is teaching the highest perfection of life and those movements that teach something that is very compromised. Lord Jesus Christ said in the Bible that those who put themselves first are last, and those who put themselves last are first in the eyes of God. He said it is more easy to put a camel through the eye of a needle than for a man who was proud of his riches to go back into the kingdom of God. Riches doesn't only mean money. Riches means whatever values you have, whether it be your abilities, your birth, your money, anything. It is all fortune. It is all riches. So the name of God, with all of its with all of the Lord's potencies, is ours simply by taking. So let us chant the holy names with great attention, with great concentration. But let us grasp the real quality of the heart which is necessary to chant the holy name. We have to free ourselves from the most deadly enemy of pride. We have to understand, I am God's slave. The slave has no independence. The slave doesn't even own himself, what to speak of anything else. I am the property of God, and everything I have is the property of God. So let me use everything in His loving service. and let me chant his holy name in this spirit of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.